Luke chapter 3. I think we finally finished verse 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We spent several days on that. Anybody have any questions? More you forgot. The baptism of fire.
So it's
in each one, the baptism that the Jews had done for years before John was a mitzvah, and the symbolism was you'd be cleansed by the waters. The baptism of repentance is the baptism that you accept your death. They had baptized, all the Jews that had been baptized in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son, they were all baptized in the name of Jesus to fulfill the baptism of repentance.
Yeah, John was preparing the way, and the baptism was the fruit of that ministry, prepared the way by baptism.
By repentance.
By repentance.
The baptism of repentance. And it's all connected with the meaning of baptism. Baptism, from the point of John the Baptist forward, was always death. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a further death. I mean, it's the death having worked out far deeper. And the baptism of fire is which Jesus said we all must pass through, and that's the baptism going between. It's the baptism through the fiery sword of the two cherubim that are guarding the garden. But it's all about repentance. There's nothing in it except what the Jews did that isn't about this fulfillment of the deeper and deeper and deeper repentance. So there's really only one baptism.
Think about this baptism in the name of Jesus. What happens to people is they take that for their self after a while. Now I'm a Christian, I do this, I do that, and then you have to go to another level of denouncing everything that you thought was right in the name of God.
Let's go to Ephesians a minute. Chapter 5. Or is it 5? No, chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. The reason for the different words is the apprehension of that one baptism.
Yeah, it's just like we go through it here. You've never preached any other thing. I always teach the exact same thing, but it's got all these different ways of seeing it that gives you the apprehension of what you're, what is done, what is finished in you.
Is that clear to everybody?
What?
I'm not going to do it again. You can listen to them. There's no excuse to come late if you're going to come.
Back here, assuming that
could. Well, that's not true, Ronnie.
Was it 5 or 10 minutes late?
Yeah.
Was I that late?
But Ronnie, every morning
in the house.
I understand, but every morning There's no reason to get up a little bit earlier so that you'll be here on time. That's what love does.
It's what I tried to do. I didn't do it. I'm sorry. I apologize. I come over here later.
Okay. Well, that's all I'm saying is just that there's a pattern. And that's why we sort of applaud every time you come early. All right. Back to chapter 3 of Luke. Verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Now that's pretty heavy. Written is just grapho. It just means anything written down. The word book is the word biblos, where we get the word Bible. But the word book here, just it's biblos, is the cellular substance in the stem of the papyrus. And that's where the word came from. And just let's go to Acts 19 for a minute. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That's where we get the book burning. But the important part is the word book here, and the word book in Luke, and the word, whenever the written word of God, is biblos. That's where we get the name Bible. But we have tended to worship the Bible instead of Christ. The Bible is words about the Word. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. And so be careful that you're not of those who worship the Bible. If you listen to the evangelists, I mean, that's all they talk about. It's written here, so therefore it's a promise to you. I mean, it's just goofy, sort of. Anyway, back to Luke. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, words is logos. Isaiah is Esaias, means Yahweh's help. In the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, prophet is, we've studied this many times, it's prophetos, means an interpreter of hidden things, but the Old Testament word for prophet is nava. And that means it's a word that's specifically used for the bubbling forth in the making of the wine. And that's why that prophesying or saying what's there is so important. There's no more prophecy in terms of telling the future. an office of the prophet, which is to reveal the hidden things. But all above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. The prophecy is this bubbling forth. And again, remember, the wine had to go through seven lees to be used of God, to be used in any of the services, any of the wine that's used. And those seven lees, the crushed grapes that everybody stomped on, were dumped into a vat. And the wine bubbled forth. And nothing was ever added to the wine. The wine was in and of itself. But it required the rotting and bubbling up of the fermentation of each grape. And so as this bubbled forth, some of the crap would come to the surface and some of the crap would go to the bottom, the dregs. Then at a certain time, these vats were kind of perpendicular. And then they carefully scraped off the top to get rid of the refuse that had collected on the top. And then they carefully poured it into the next lee, or the next vat, and the same process occurred. And careful not to pour any of the dregs that were in the bottom. And then that whole fermentation process continued, and it created more dregs to the bottom and more crap to the top. So that was repeated seven times. And that's why this mystery of prophesying or saying what's there is so critical. First of all, if you don't say what's there, then you're still the governor. You're still, and if you don't say what's there because you're afraid someone will make fun of you, then you're still concerned with self. So the whole, this must be continued. And it's risky to say what's there. You risk everything every time you open your mouth.
All that drags is just you that have no place in the kingdom.
Right. Let's go to Mark 7. Verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile him. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto him, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into all draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile him. And so this is why this prophesying and paying the consequences for prophesying is so critical. I've heard it so many times that it's in all these years that I've been doing what I do, that people say, well, if I said what's there, then I would get into trouble, or somebody won't like me, or, you know, the excuses are legion. But if it's there and can't be instantly repented of, then it must be given.
That's even like confession.
But it's critical not to have a governor on your mind. Now this is probably, and even you're the Antichrist, there's no such thing as free will, all those other things I've said, and the scriptures say the one that gets people the maddest is this one.
It's what?
Is this, that you say what's there without concern for yourself, but you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. How can you then put a governor on what you say?
Yeah, the governor thing is, if you have a governor, you are in league with that governor.
You are the governor.
Yeah, and there, that agreement causes the Antichrist to have his power, and God is not welcome.
Amen.
It's a closed society. It's a club.
Now, sometimes the word prophet is used for secular writers. Let's look at that a couple of them. Let's go to Acts first. Acts 17. Well, this is Paul's Mars Hill talk. And Paul stood in, well, let's go back to verse 19. Yeah, let's go up to 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers, again, that's of the Epicureans and of the Stoics, encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speak is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious," or too, actually it says too religious. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Now again, when he said he saw this, remember, he was at the Parthenon. I mean, is that I'm getting confused. It was the huge, unbelievably beautiful building dedicated to the Virgin. And there was all of the different gods, and they adopted some from Greece and some from Rome and some from Babylon, and they had all these different gods. It'd be looking at the value systems in the United States. We would have free enterprise, rugged individualism, capitalism, you know, whatever it is. And there would be, all those would be the gods. And then there'd be this one that said, in case we missed any, that we're going to worship this unknown one. And so that's essentially where he was. And if he were here in Dallas, he would do the same thing. He would reveal the idolatry that is so present and so commonplace that it's like the air we breathe. Amen?
Yeah.
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets, or the word is this, prophetos, have said, We also, are his offspring, or his creation, is what it says. So the word for prophet isn't limited to the Old Testament prophets. Paul called, let's look at another one. They called Paul the Epicureans, and this is Aratus, is the prophet or poet he's speaking of here. And Aratus' poem, which he quotes, I keep forgetting to get it. I've got pieces of it, but I found out that we can get the whole thing. And what it is, he's teaching on the 12 signs of the zodiac and each of the other 36 sub-signs. And so he's quoting from that he's giving meaning to Aratus.
And that's what Paul's doing here?
Yeah. And you ought to read it. It's mind-bending. Well, I'll find it. Let's go to one more. Titus chapter 1. Titus is right before Hebrews. Starting chapter 1, verse 8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that they may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers or the opposers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. But anyway, there's the word the prophet again is used. All right, back to Luke. Any questions about any of this prophet and prophecy and remember the two witnesses, the two men that have never died are Enoch, who represents wisdom, and Elijah, who represents prophecy. And these are the two witnesses still standing in each temple, in the temple. And eventually, the two witnesses together will be slain because it's a threat to everybody. But again, prophecy is bubbling forth. Wisdom is timing. But you can't apply your own wisdom to it. It's what is the fruit of prophesying.
Yeah, wisdom is the fear of God.
Well, yeah, but wisdom, in terms of what they're talking about here, wisdom is timing. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But the point is, it's not your timing. I remember when I taught about that a long time ago, and everybody they justify not prophesying by their own mind saying, well, I didn't want to do that because. Remember? Yeah. I'm sure none of the people here would ever say that.
Nobody
here. All right, back to verse Luke chapter 3, verse 4. The prophet, as written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying is that word lego, which means to say, to affirm, to teach, to exhort, to advise, to intend, to mean, etc. The voice is phone. Means any sound or tone in the wilderness, of the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We've studied wilderness. It's Eremos, meaning solitary, alone, uninhabited, deserted. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare is this, it's a word that I, it's hetoimazo, or hetoimazo, or however you pronounce it. And it means to make ready. And it's the, you know, I told you that for a brief time in 1969, I was an advance man for the White House. And I just did it one thing for the Republican Governors Conference, which was in Tulsa. And wherever the president went, there were advance men. There were volunteer advance men like I was. But you had to be checked out by, you know, the Secret Service in order to do it. And there were paid advance men. And they went wherever the president, they went before the president. And they prepared everything so that there was no possibility of glitches. So that the right facilities were made, the right menu was made, the right everything. Well, that's what this word means, prepare, hetomazo. And it's used for you and I because it's, we're, if you remember the cup of Elijah and the Passover Seder, and it was, and the Jews do it where they keep the door open and they have a cup reserved for Elijah because he might come and say, get ready. And as we testified often by each one of us at least drinking a sip from the cup, each one of us are called to do this, to prepare the way. And the only way you can prepare the way is by abject, total, 100% disowning of self and abandonment. And because that's the only thing that causes him to come forth, and that part of the other preparing of the way is Isaiah says exactly what we should say. So let's go to Isaiah 40. This one is really important. No, we can't. I'm out of time. We'll do Isaiah 40 tomorrow.
Money.
Anybody have any response to any of this? What? What'd you say?
See, I'm just coming over here to eat tomorrow.
This, what we're discussing, it's not history. It happened in history, but it has to take place in each one of us. And until, I mean, there's never an exhortation to preach or say something to, you know, they say, well, go tell somebody about Jesus. I promise you, if you believe, you will speak. If you don't believe, you're still testing it, you won't speak. And again, if you speak, you can only bring people to the place you are then. And so that's like children creating children. Infants creating infants. God wants us the fullness of repentance, the emptiness of the vessel, so that Christ has no competition within you. And that's what all this, every person must do this.
The timing here is pristine in that this is what we're studying today is the baptism of repentance, which is preparing the way for Rosh Hashanah Sunday celebrating the birth.
Amen.
Who planned that?
Anybody else? Everybody understand perfectly? All right, take it, big guy.